Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. A debate on Iran with Colonel Chris Thompson and Dr. Jill Derby, both here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Aaron Ford says he was a teacher.
I taught middle school math.
Here's some math.
Ford took over 420 days of vacation.
While we showed up for work.
That's more than a year of paid vacation.
While he was jetting off to Paris,
Martha's Vineyard,
and Cabo,
we were here.
We were here.
We were here teaching.
You know who else was here?
Joe Lombardo. For kids, families, and teachers.
He shows up every time.
And teachers are going to show up for Joe Lombardo every time.
Meet Nevada Health Link, Nevada's official health insurance marketplace. Your link to savings, selection, free assistance, and name brand health insurance. Where 90% of enrollees lower the cost of their monthly premium. Everyone deserves access to quality health coverage, no matter your income or family size. Visit NevadaHealthLink.com. A few minutes could save you hundreds of dollars per month.
Nevada Health Link. Our plans are made for your plans.
Roads lead to Tamarack Casino for trucks or bucks. Win up to $5,000 in cash every week. Buckle up and win a brand new Tundra or up to $45,000 in cash. Shift the winning and your good times into high gear at Tamarack Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted to welcome back to the program Colonel Chris Thompson, U.S. Army and National Guard retired, and Jill Derby, Dr. Jill Derby, who lived in the Middle East for 3 years and speaks Arabic, has traveled back and forth to Iraq and other neighboring countries for the last 14 years, is board chair of the American University in the Kurdish region. Pleasure to have you both back on the program. Chris, let's start with a really simple question for you. Did we need to go to war with Iran?
There's been a lot of discussion about that and, you know, centered around, was there an imminent threat, as was claimed by the administration? It's hard for, I think, anybody outside didn't have access to the actual intel to say. It is concerning that the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, in her testimony, refused to confirm that there was an imminent threat. But let me say this. Iran is desperate for a nuclear weapon. In my view, there is no agreement, there is no sanction, there is no monetary policy that is going to get in the way of them getting one, in their view. They are willing to starve their own people, they're willing to wreck their own economy for the right to get a nuclear weapon. So I believe this fight is going to come sooner or later. And probably better that we do it sooner than later, especially with the opportunity presented. It wasn't presented in a good manner to the American people, but I think the fight is here and we've got to move forward with it, in my view.
Your position, Joe?
Well, we squandered billions of dollars for nothing. In fact, for a lot of damage to the United States. Let's be clear, it was a war of choice, one man's choice, really two. Netanyahu was right there in Trump's ear. I would maintain that Iran has never been a threat to us. Yes, possibly to Israel, but not to us. But think of the damage to us. It's not only the billions. We need that money here. We've got kids, 18%, that are food hungry. And all the kinds of needs we have here, and we've squandered that money, but more consequentially, we've squandered our good standing in the world. One man's choice to do this, the goals that were stated have not been achieved at all. And in fact, we're back not even where we started, because the Gulf of Hormuz was open at the time we started this war, and it's very questionable now. But the damage to our standing and our relationship with allies, I think, has been a very serious consequence and very damaging. And we can talk further about Iran as a risk to us. Not a risk to us. It was Netanyahu's war, and he was in Trump's ear right before Trump made this decision against the advice of military commanders who said to him, we don't have the stockpiles we need to do this. And he went ahead with it, said it'd only be 4 or 6 weeks, almost 6 months now. And we've, as far as I can tell, lost ground.
So I have to throw this out there, Chris, which is, first of all, you know, years ago, we were supposed to have the military capability to fight two wars at once. And yet we find ourselves with very low stockpiles and a huge push now for manufacturing, where the military is talking to companies like Ford, going back to World War II days,
true,
in terms of being able to increase the manufacturing. So how do you respond to what
Dr. Dorsey said? Here's my response. Again, looking at it from a strategic standpoint, is it a vital national interest of the U.S. that Iran not have a nuclear weapon? That is the fundamental question. If we imagine a world where they do have nuclear weapons, and before this conflict, they had the ability to deliver them. They had ICBM rockets. They had guidance systems for low Earth orbit, capable of dropping nukes anywhere on the planet. So is that a vital national interest? And if it is, then we have to contend with that. Can you imagine trying to negotiate with Iran if they did have those nuclear weapons and holding all those nations in the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Oman, holding all those nations hostage? They were already planning, I believe, to shut down or control the Strait of Hormuz. They had pre-positioned their assets there long before this conflict started. We know that for a fact. So imagine trying to reopen the strait if they had nuclear weapons. So that's why I feel if there was a time to, you know, take it to Iran and resolve this issue, it is right now.
Jill, you're shaking
your
head.
You know, the great majority of the American people oppose this war. He never made the case. His choice, 4 to 6 weeks. We're 6 months in now, and we've, as far as I'm concerned, we've lost ground. Let me bring in a sort of historical framework to this. When have ever our aggressions in the Middle East, whether against Afghanistan or Iraq or really Iran, come out well for the United States? Not to mention Vietnam, of course. But if you look back to 1953 and who the aggressor was, it's the U.S. Because Iran at that time had a democratically elected prime minister named Mossadegh, who very popular with the people, a parliament that was 100% behind him. But the issue was oil. BP was there, got the U.S. involved, and were very worried that Mossadegh wanted to nationalize the oil and turn the profits to serve his own nation of Iranian people. So we, our CIA, was the leader in engineering a coup that put the Shah, who was just a figurehead at that point, in power, who then had to maintain control in the most repressive and brutal way with prison, torture, executions. And the Iranian people hated him. It took them 25 years to come up with a revolution to throw him out. Sadly, in 1979, when they did throw the Shah out, the only organized group was a fundamentalist Islam imam or bishop who was organized to come in. But it all started with our meddling, with our CIA overthrowing a democratic elected leader, and probably the Iranians have hated us ever since.
Would you not refer to the current regime as repressive?
It definitely is repressive. And the sad thing is what Trump promised when he started this war was, we're coming to rescue you. Well, boy, did we not. No, it's a terrible regime. I mean, it's the same tactics the Shah used with his SAVAK, which was the security police. I mean, they've imposed that on steroids. So, it, you know, that's, but look around the world. There are a lot of other governments that do that. And, you know, we always have to make decisions. Should we ride in and rescue everybody that doesn't meet our standards? Mostly that means somehow has an alliance with us, because we didn't oppose the Shah, and he was brutal in terms of suppressing his people.
But would you be okay with Iran having nuclear weapons?
No. But, you know, actually, I disagree with Chris on this. The intel that I've read about is they weren't preparing a nuclear weapon because of the JPOA, and then that put everything on hold. And here we are, and we didn't have any signs that they were. And once again, they've not been a threat to us, a threat to Israel, perhaps, and that's been the motivation, is our alliance with Israel and our protection of them. We've provided them with the kind of Iron Dome that are the very Patriot missiles that we're now running short of, that we couldn't really defend ourselves. And by the way, China and Russia are cheering us on and both helping, supporting Iran. But sure, we've lost so much in this.
Okay,
for what gain? So far, nothing but loss.
Okay, but let me ask you this, and then I'll let Chris jump back in. You know, this is really, to me, a war between Sunnis and Shiites, along with the United States and Israel. The Sunni nations, whether they are publicly in support of the United States and Israel, privately, they certainly are. And we've seen with the Abraham Accords, some of the nations coming out in support of it. Egypt, of course, has been working with us for decades. So, you know, how does that play into all of this?
Well, it certainly plays into it. Look, that's an old, it probably goes back centuries and centuries and centuries, this tension between Sunnis and Shia. And Iran is Shia. Iraq, by the way, is a majority Shia country by about 60%. That's why when we meddled and tried to set up a constitution for them, it didn't work so well. If you look at what's going on with Iran right now, and a lot of those Iranian supportive militias are attacking Saudi Arabia and others in the Gulf, that always is behind it. But really, Sam, is it our business to go in where there is underlying something, a religious tension or some other deep historical tension, and tried to sort it out? I mean, granted, I'm very aware of that Sunni-Shia tension, and that'll always be there, but it's been there for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, and it has
actually thousands now.
Yeah, thousands of years.
Okay, let's like
so let's talk about the JCPOA. It's called the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. Now, this was the deal of the century for Iran, that President Obama did with Iran. So first they got 400 million in Swiss francs and other foreign currency transported on pallets on unmarked aircraft, followed up by another 1.3 billion in order for them to enter this plan of action. It wasn't even called an agreement. It was a plan of action. And what did they do during the course of the JCPOA? They kept shipping IEDs to Afghanistan and Iraq, killing Americans. Those IEDs have killed probably 500 to 600 American soldiers and Marines in those two countries. They were supposed to destroy their archive of nuclear program documents and CDs, and they claimed they did, but they actually moved them to a secret warehouse in Tehran. The Israeli Mossad found out about it, conducted a nighttime raid on that warehouse in Tehran. They burned half of the documents, absconded with the other half, about 1,000 pounds of documents, and despite 10,000 Iranian soldiers putting up roadblocks and cordons and chasing them down, they got those documents over the border to Israel. They overproduced on heavy water and over the limits. They stored it off-site. They refused entry to the most experienced IAEA inspectors, demanding that they send in less experienced, more junior inspectors. And this just goes on and on and on. Some sites in Iran were off limits. The IAEA inspectors found prohibited uranium isotopes on three locations, undisclosed, non-declared by the Iranians. The JCPOA was worthless. We still don't know what they did under the JCPOA. But here's the main point. No agreement, no plan of action, nothing in writing is going to stop these people from trying to get a nuclear weapon. And it comes back to the question you posed. Is Iran having a nuclear weapon acceptable. And if it's not, there's no way diplomacy is going to fix that.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back more on this discussion on what's going on in Iran after this timeout.
This piano's in tune because I take care of it. Neglect it, and nothing sounds right. That's our economy. Congress neglects us while lining their pockets, self-dealing, insider trading, while you do more with less. One good job used to buy a home, fill your tank, raise a family. Not anymore. I'm Marty O'Donnell. I approve this message because it's time to get Congress back in tune.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
A power line is more than a power line. It's maintaining the bottom line for small businesses. It's keeping the assembly line moving for our workforce. For our brightest minds, it's meeting a deadline. It's on the front line with our heroes. And on the sidelines of the biggest games. It's a direct line to our loved ones. And it's a lifeline for the most vulnerable. There's a lot on the line.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation and debate here with Colonel Chris Thompson, U.S. Army and National Guard retired, and Dr. Jill Derby, trustee of the American University of Iraq and Kurdistan. You wanted to follow up, Jill.
Well, only to say, according to the International Inspection Team, Iran had not made any progress on developing a nuclear weapon. Things were just on hold here. You know, Israel attacked Iran and did some damage a year ago, but it didn't take everything out. And that was, I think, why Netanyahu persuaded our president to just go in and attack without consultation or agreement with anybody, saying this will be an easy job, it'll be done in 4 to 6 weeks. And it hasn't been, and we haven't made any progress towards the established goals that were announced at the beginning of it. And speaking of damage, which is all over the place, we have lost 20 American servicemen. And for what? For what? Think of the damage that we've done in terms of now our allies in the Gulf. Do you think they're going to trust us again? I noticed Saudi Arabia just made a new pact with Pakistan and Turkey, a defense pact. And of course, Pakistan is nuclear armed.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's a whole nother discussion, Tom, but whether or not you feel that, Sam, I'm sorry, I feel that the U.S. could police. Well, look at North Korea. We weren't able to keep them from getting a nuclear weapon. Are we going to be able to do that? And, you know, this is a new world we've entered. And because of our president, we have less support from allies. We have less confidence from the international community, less trust that we'll do what we say we'll do.
Let me ask you this, though. You know, in all diplomacy, there is public diplomacy and private diplomacy. What countries say publicly is invariably for their own citizens,
sure,
whereas what they talk about privately is how they get things accomplished. Now, you look at North Korea, and the United States has not been able to make any moves on North Korea because they have nuclear weapons.
Right.
And Iran would like to have the same thing,
sure,
which makes Saudi Arabia say that they would have the same thing. If Saudi Arabia is talking to Pakistan and were to be able to get nuclear weapons from Pakistan, or for that matter, North Korea, because now the North Koreans are playing with the Russians in Ukraine, this would be setting a fire that would never go out in the Middle East.
I think the fire has been set. And I think what everybody sees now, certainly what Iran sees, if you don't want to be attacked, you better have nuclear weapons. we're not going to attack North Korea. They have nuclear weapons. We tried to, you're against that development, but it happened anyway. This is the world we're living in, and I think that's a larger and strategic question. Do we want to try to keep every country from having nuclear weapons? Are there 9 or 10 now that have nuclear weapons? And I think the lesson to the world out of all the nations, out of this conflict right now, given what we've tried to do and have failed to do, is you better have nuclear weapons or somebody will attack you.
Chris?
So, you know, here's my issue, and I respectfully disagree with Dr. Derby on this. October 7th, a fully supported, armed, and financed terrorist group called Hamas killed 40 Americans around October the 7th. They've been killing Americans in Afghanistan and Iraq the entire time that we've been deployed there with their IEDs. They have financed terrorism all over the world. When is enough enough with Iran? If they have a nuclear weapon, their ability to finance terrorists around the world, to establish proxies, to expand their proxy network, is going to go way up. Right now is about as good as it's ever been in terms of their proxies getting destroyed. Hamas is all but destroyed. Hezbollah got decapitated. The Syrian government fell. The Houthis are still influential, but they've been hurt. So Iran's network has not been, faring very well lately. Give them a nuke and everything changes. And we can expect more terrorist financing around the world, not just in the Middle East.
Then let's look at the historical cultural context of what Hamas is about and all the groups that oppose Israel's illegal capture of territory from the Palestinians. From the time the United Nations in 1948 sketched out the state of Israel and said, we will protect the Palestinians, this is their right to territory that they own, and this is Israel. And Israel, since that time, has violated the United Nations and all international agreements about it, continuing into the West Bank today. Terrible things going on, what they call the settlers, the far right extremists in Israel, killing Palestinians, killing some Americans, by the way, that are over in the West Bank that have ties there. And this is what has always been underneath it, is the fact that Iran and its allies have decided to try to defend the Palestinians against Israel's aggression and the seizure of illegal territory. And speaking of Hamas killing, let's look at the genocide that's gone on in Gaza.
Okay.
Horrific. Most of the world has stood up and said, stop.
You're bringing up so many topics. Let me just address a few here just briefly, and then we have to take a break. Number one, the formation of the State of Israel in 1948 was in response to 6 million Jews being killed by the Nazis.
Sure.
And so that was a humanitarian effort. And I believe at the time, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that area was called Transjordan and was actually controlled by Jordan at that time. It was not Palestine, but Jews and Palestinians were living there. So from a historical perspective, this has gone backwards and forwards. I mean, the Turks, the Ottoman Empire, they ruled there for 300 years. Let's take a quick break and we will be right back.
Great.
At Nevada Urban Indians in Reno, your health is our priority. Our medical clinic welcomes everyone. We accept all insurances, ensuring quality care is within reach. Nevada Urban Indians, your partners in health.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
Welcome to Story County, where history meets innovation and a pioneering spirit continues to shape our future. At the heart of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, we power the future with global leaders in technology and manufacturing, driving progress that reaches far beyond our county lines. From advanced manufacturing to tech innovation, our industries are creating thousands of quality careers, fueling a vibrant economy that benefits every Nevadan. Our community is our foundation. Be part of a legacy built on bold ideas and boundless possibilities. Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers with our remaining moments with Dr. Jill Derby and Colonel Chris Thompson. Jill, you have 30 seconds to sum up.
Just to correct you, Sam, Palestine was a British protectorate. The
yes.
British guaranteed the Palestinian rights. Israel was guaranteed certain space. They have continued ever since then to violate international law and by aggression, by military means, grab more territory that the whole world has denounced. Let me add one thing that Hannah Arendt said. Thinking of the Holocaust, she projected, is Israel going to use that as a justification, the Holocaust, to commit those kind of crimes aggressively against other people? That's what's going on in Palestine.
Chris?
Great. My final word is this. It's a vital national security interest that Iran not have a nuclear weapon. We need to do something to stop it. We are doing something to stop it. There is no other way.
And that's where we have to leave it.
Okay.
You are both welcome back to continue this discussion.
Yep.
Thank you both.
All good.
Thank you.
We'll be right back.
2025 is bringing big changes for Nevada businesses. If you have more than 5 employees and have been operating for 3 years or more, you must now comply with new state retirement plan mandates. The Vegas Chamber 401k plan makes it easy, offering a proven, customizable, and cost-effective plan for employers and employees to save with tax advantages. Visit VegasChamber.com to explore options and see how the Vegas Chamber can help you start saving for your future.
Welcome to the Ahern Hotel, where bold ambition meets unforgettable experiences. Feel your game day vibes and celebrate with great food at All American Sports Kitchen, serving amazing flavors and fan favorites. Sip and savor at Aroma Barista Bar, handcrafted coffee roasted to perfection. Step into the Ahern Live Showroom, where concerts, comedy, and unforgettable performances light up the night. We also have the David Yule Art Gallery. It's the only one in the world, and his work is breathtaking. Browse the gift shop. It's a treasure trove of keepsakes, chic essentials, and one-of-a-kind finds. And the space. Almost 30,000 square feet of meetings and events areas ready for you. From weddings and birthdays to quinceañeras, trade shows, banquets, and beauty pageants. Bigger ideas? Let the Ahern team handle all the details so your event is flawless. Ahern Hotel, where moments become memories. Book your next gathering today.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
Thanks for watching Nevada Newsmakers. If you want to be on our mailing list, go to the website, NevadaNewsmakers.com, and sign up. You'll get the guest list in advance every Friday, and on Mondays, a whole list of our new archive shows going back to 2003. We'll see you on the next broadcast.